Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Thanksgiving Week special here on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Father, we thank you today for your word. We come before it with expectant hearts, and we receive from heaven. And we thank you for revelation of the word. We thank you for revelation of yourself, Jesus. Mm-hmm. We seek your face.
Grateful, Lord.
Okay. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Good morning, Gloria.
Good morning, sunshine.
You look so beautiful this morning.
Thank you.
You always look beautiful.
Aww.
I get up looking like this, and you get up looking like that.
You look great. I like that blue shirt.
Well, thank you.
Matches
very much.
Those blue eyes.
I appreciate that. Thank you. This week, we're going to be looking and turning our attention to the Word in the renewing of our minds.
Oh, my.
To the truth that God is love. He doesn't have love, He is love. Amen. Now, we got to get a hold of this. We're going to grow in His wisdom concerning His love for us. So don't miss any of these broadcasts. Let's get right into today's message. Let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of 1 John. 1 John. And we will look in the 4th chapter. First John chapter 4, and let's read the 8th verse. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now, this book of 1 John is the book that reveals to us that God doesn't have love. He is love. He has faith. He is love. Now, it is extremely important. I cannot emphasize how important it is that the Lord has placed this in my heart some months ago, and it has just been, it's just a glorious thing to have a renewed mind concerning God is love. Now, the word God, actually, the way you and I know it, is not a Bible word. It came out of German theology, Gott. And you do understand that God has names. Amen. And His name is not God. His name isn't Christ. That may come as a real shock to some. For instance, He is God, Englishized Jehovah. It's not actually pronounced Jehovah. That's been Englishized for us. Now, He is Jehovah, or I really enjoy spelling His name in Hebrew, because people actually, for a large part, don't really know anymore how to pronounce His name. Because the Jewish people refused for centuries to pronounce it. And over the years, I won't go into all that. But Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the name,
the name. Say it. The name. Hallelujah. He is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh-Rapha. He is. That's one of his names. Our healer. Huh? Now listen to me. If healing passed away, God would have had to change his name. That isn't going to happen. Amen. The stars will fall out of the sky before that happens. Literally. Amen. Oh, this is so vitally important. But we've just used the word God and used the word, you know, love. And the reason, particularly with English-speaking people, and I'm quite sure it's this way in other languages, but with English-speaking people, I mean, we love everything. Don't you just love my new suit? No, I don't love your suit. No. There's a lack of reverence for him. Love not the world, nor the things in the world. So what are we talking about here? Well, you need to reserve the word love for whom it was intended. I love my God with all of my heart, all of my soul, all my mind and my strength. I love my neighbor as myself. I love the brethren even as he loves the brethren. I love my wife. I love my family. I love the Word of God, and I love the brethren. I love you. I don't love my clothes. I don't love food. Well, Brother Copeland, what am I supposed to say? Are you really that? What does the Bible say? I don't know. Well, what did the Apostle Paul write Timothy? He said, God gives us all things richly to enjoy. Now think about that for a moment. Think about what he just said there now. He asked me one day, he said, Kenneth, do I give you things to meet your needs? I said, yes. He said, no. Well, I knew then I'd been had, you know, because at that point, I didn't have a clue what he talked about. He said, no, son, I give you things richly to enjoy, and they meet your needs. See, it wasn't my needs that he had in mind. Huh? Boy, you missed a place to say amen. God is a God of joy. Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. I was sitting on the platform one night and the whole place was shouting and going on. I finally just sat down. And while I was sitting there, the Lord said something to me that startled me. He said, Kenneth, if it hadn't been for sin, I never would have had a serious thought. He said, what is there to be serious about? He said, I got serious when death came. And I grasp a snapshot of him all of a sudden. He is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Huh? Can you see it? You see what he is? And if it hadn't been for that mess, we all still be just dancing and singing. That's all anybody'd ever do. He's big on dancing and singing. He commanded people to dance and sing. Amen. He's big on that. It's us that have been so stiff-necked. you know. Well, Brother Copeland, you know, I'm just not very demonstrative. And I have a praise in my heart. Not in abundance, you don't. Because if it was in there in abundance, it'd come out your mouth. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, that works all the time. The little twin-engine airplane that I had, the first twin we had, it had tip tanks, fuel tanks on the wing tips, and that thing, oh, that fuel tank, it was a teardrop tank, and it came to almost a point in the back where it was about, oh, it was about like that, and it was just this high. And if you weren't looking, you could really do some serious damage to your forehead if you weren't looking and bang your head into that tip tank. Well, I walked into the maintenance shop one day, and they were working around in there. And just as I walked across the hangar floor, one of those mechanics hit that tip tank. He hollered. You could have heard him out, and you can imagine what he said. Yeah, that's right. Just what you thought he said. And he's got his head up here, and I walked up. Oh, preacher, forgive me. I said, don't let me cramp your style, brother. Glory to God. I ain't here to judge you. I said, when Jesus was on earth, he said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We know what you're full of. I didn't help him a bit. Amen. Now then, to be aware and to respect that word, love is God, and God is love. I enjoy things. Amen. But I reserve my expression of love for the things that God loves. Amen. And it starts off with Him. Amen. 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 Oh, yeah. Gloria and I are fully aware, as much, my, as we love one another, we're together almost all the time. I have no remembrance of the last any form of an argument that we had. I mean, we've been married 55 and a half years, and now back there, you know, Kenneth, B.C., I tried to fight with her. She never would do it. You know, you can't fuss by yourself. she just wouldn't. She just always ministered to me and changed my life. Absolutely changed my life. When we were in Hawaii, we had just come back from ministering in the South Pacific. This was back before the days of our airplane being able to go across the ocean. And we got into Hawaii. We'd been ministering just in really extended period of time in Australia and so forth. Anyway, oh, I was tired. I tell you, I felt like I'd been, you know, pulled through a keyhole or something. I just seemed like just bone tired. Now, there ain't no excuse for that. I don't care how tired you are. Amen. Amen. And so we went down to breakfast at the hotel where we were staying. A little outdoor continental breakfast. We went back down. Just barking at everybody. And I threw some money down there on the table. And when I turned around, Gloria had come over around and behind me, and when I turned around, she was standing right there. And she looked up at me, and she caught me by my shirt, and this little tear was coming down. She said, "I am going to be a blessing to you some way." Okay. And then another time, some years later, she walked around behind me. I was sitting in a chair, sitting in her study. And, that seemed like just all the pressure you could imagine would come in there on me. And here again, I was really, really tired. She walked around and put her hands on my back. And she began to pray for me. And she said, "Sweetheart, I find no fault in you." That one moment changed my love life forever. It got through to my spirit being. It went in there like a bolt of love that it took all of that out of me forever. I've not been gripey and grumpy, well, maybe a little. But at least I've had sense enough to stop it before I became as obnoxious as I was back then. Amen. Those words of love changed my whole life. I wish I had a woman like that. Well, you can't have mine. You probably have if you'd treat her halfway, right? Well, I'm not going to go there right now. But hey, we better get back. We better get back to our business here. Now then, honoring the word love, to honor God, to renew our mind. And this takes a decision, because you're in the habit of saying these kind of things. It takes a decision. Correct yourself. No, I don't love my new car. I enjoy it. Amen. I love the Lord that gave it to me. Amen. And He gave it for me to enjoy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, let's read this verse again. "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Now let's go down to the 16th verse. "We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, who is love, and God, who is love, in him." Now, we're going to do some of these things in this service tonight, but I just want to start you off like this. In the beginning, love created the heaven and the earth. Love did that. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, who is love. Can you see what I'm doing here? That strikes your thinking, causes you to begin to renew your mind. You start cutting new grooves in your brain where the Word of love is concerned and where the Word God is concerned. You do the same thing with the Word Christ. Amen. The Anointed One and His anointing. Amen. So, now, look at that 16th verse. We have known and believed the love. Now, every born-again human being has had that holy moment of knowing Jesus by the Holy Spirit. But almost all born again, Holy Spirit baptized, healing, believing, tongue talking, faith walking Christians don't believe that God loves them. Oh, yes, I do. No, you don't. You mentally assent to the fact that He loves you. But how much love and faith are you putting in that love? Have faith in God. I just said have faith in love. Whether I realized it or not, that's what I just said. Have faith in God who is love. Have faith, not have faith in His love. Have faith in love Himself.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and Gloria Copeland is sitting right here next to me. I want you to know.
Of course.
And she pretty this morning? Praise God. Father, we thank You for this broadcast today.
Thank You.
We come before You with faith in our hearts, and we ask You for revelation from heaven, and we receive it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we give You all of the glory and the praise in Jesus' name.
Praise
God. Amen.
Amen.
Now, let me talk to you here a moment about something. Mark 11, 22, have faith in God. Now, you know what you just said? You know what you just read? You know what I just said? Have faith in love. In the beginning, love created the heavens and the earth. Praise God. We must have a renewing of our minds concerning God is love and love is God. Amen. Praise God. Now, this is one of the most vital things, I believe, that when the Lord began to talk to me about this and deal with me about this, it really shook me up. I mean, it startled me and rattled me. I began to realize I knew this, I preached this, but I was not anywhere near as developed in this area as I knew I should be. That He's love. There's nothing you can do to make Him love you any less. There's nothing you can do to make Him love you anymore. He is love.
Praise God.
Now, we haven't had any trust in that love because love has become a slang word in the American language. I love my car. I love pizza. I love dogs and cats and all that. Well, there's no respect for it, so the word doesn't mean anything. But when you get down to the place where you know this is God and there needs to be some reverence and respect about it, get your Bibles. Let's get into this today. Praise God. Don't forget to download the notes, okay?
Praise.
Amen. Gloria and I'll be back in just a minute.
Let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of 1 John. Look at that 16th verse. We have known. Now, that word known there is the Greek word gnosko, and it means intimate relationship with. It's the same word that is used to describe a man knew his wife, or it is used and translated intercourse. It's talking about an intimate relationship. Amen. So we have known, we have experienced an intimacy with our Heavenly Father and with our Lord Jesus and with His Spirit, because the moment that we heard the word. Faith came. Now, do you remember what happened with Mary, the mother of Jesus? The Holy Spirit came and hovered over her. The Word of God, literally, the Word became flesh. One translation said, the Word took upon itself flesh and dwelt among us. That Word of God was the sperm, the seed. The sower soweth the Word. That was the seed, and the Holy Spirit hovered over this young girl, and there was conceived in her a holy, holy, holy thing. Amen? Amen. We were born again. Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. The seed of our new birth was exactly the same incorruptible seed that brought Jesus into this world. Exactly the same. There's no difference in them. The one's not big and the other one little. No. It's exactly the same word. He was born from above. We're born from above. And when you heard that word and faith came, my, the same Holy Spirit hovered over your physical body. And inside your spirit, a holy new creature was born. That was the ginosko moment. That was the intimate moment between you and Jesus. Most of us didn't realize that that's what it was. But the more that we think about it, particularly when you stop and think what we can read right there in the Bible, he died for the ungodly. Well, I qualified. So did you. And in a moment's time, we were made the righteousness of God. We didn't realize just how really, what a holy moment that was. But for a moment there was a very intimate thing that took place between you and the Holy Spirit and Jesus. Huh? Can you say amen with me?
Amen.
Amen. But now, wait a minute. That didn't stop there. Notice what else he said. We have known and believed the love. But how much love and faith are you putting in that love? Have faith in God. I just said have faith in love. Whether I realized it or not, that's what I just said. Have faith in God, who is love. Have faith, not have faith in His love, have faith in love Himself. Now, let me give you an illustration. Now, you remember the storm was raging and the boat's filling up with water and things are not looking good at all. Amen. Now, what did they say to him? You remember? Don't you care that we're dying here? How dare you? But see, they didn't know who he was. But we do and say the same stupid thing. We know who he is. I'm not talking about people out there that don't know. I'm talking about the likes of you and me. I just don't understand. Sometimes it makes me think you don't even care that the devil has trapped me with this. You better shut your nasty mouth. You're just getting in deeper and deeper and deeper. Now, God's not going to retaliate against you, but you're just swinging the door wide open for the devil to knock your feet right where your head used to be. And just tear up your house from one end to the other. Amen. Because when you don't feel like he loves you, when you don't feel like he cares, when you don't feel anything good, that's when you better believe he's there. You better believe he loves you. You better come up against that feeling mess and come out of there and say, I'm going to tell you something, Satan. Don't you come pushing me around here and telling me Jesus don't care. Who do you think you are? Come telling me that. I love him with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and all my strength. And I'll tell you something else, Mr. Devil. He loves me with all his heart, all his soul, all his mind, and all his strength. And everything he ever has or ever did, he did for me.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Hallelujah.
And just tell your body, you just get in line. The Apostle Paul said he buffeted his body. I like what Brother Hagin used to say. He'd say, I feel good and I feel fine. Body, get in line. Isn't that good? Say it with me. I feel good. I feel fine.
Body,
get in line. Oh, yeah, that's good. We have known and believed the love that God, who is love, hath to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he who is love is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in God. Do you see what I just did? There is no fear in love. Well, of course not. God is love. There ain't no fear in God. Come on, saints. What have we been thinking here? Of course there's no fear in love. But that's God, who is love, and his love that's on the inside of you. And if you will get that love and stir him up and get love right up there on the top shelf, there's no place for fear to live. Perfected love casteth out fear. Why? Because fear hath torment. There's no fear in love. Perfected love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect. He's not developing. He's not growing in love. Now, 1 John 2:5, whoso keepeth his word, in him is the love of God perfected. You're right there in that fourth chapter. Look at the 12th verse. No man hath seen God, who is love, at any time. If we love one another, God, who is love, dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. What's he talking about? It grows. You're following the New Testament process. Plant it, it'll grow. They said, increase our faith. He said, if you had faith as a seed, you plant it. Yes, You need faith? Use faith. Plant faith. If you need the love of God perfected in your life, start loving. Because the Word says so. Amen. Start acting on that Word and start loving the brethren. I'm talking about the ugly ones. I'm talking about everybody. Amen. And this takes some developing. Now, I can share this with you right now. And I don't know, we may talk about this later. But if you wait, if you walk out of your house in the morning and you wait until somebody's rude to you, or you'll love them after you repent. That, I'm telling you, this is something you've got to get ahead of. You have to build and practice this before you ever go outside. Start loving before you ever leave the house, sweetheart. Don't wait until somebody runs out in front of you on the freeway. And you dropped your cinnamon roll and poured your coffee in your lap. That ain't the time to say, uh-oh, I better love somebody right here. No. No, you begin your day. Father, I thank you today. And when I stand praying, I forgive. If I have aught against any, I forgive. I forgive everybody today. I am a forgiver. I'm like Jesus. I forgive everybody. I just forgive everybody. Before you go into a restaurant, forgive everybody in there. Amen. Then you're ready for anything that happens. And you can hear the voice of God. You can hear him when he says, you missed that police officer over there in that booth. Oh, yeah. Go over there and get his check. Don't you ever let a police officer buy his own meal.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you.
Amen.
Don't you ever let a soldier, sailor, marine, airman, don't you ever let them buy their own meals. Uh-uh. Praise God. Well, Brother Coleman, don't start whining. This is who we are. We're born of love. And now when we believe the love, it begins to grow. You're exercising faith in that love who is God. But you've made a transfer and a renewing in your mind that is extremely important. And you've switched places with the nondescript word God with the very powerful word love.
Amen.
Amen. And it gets really, really personal, really, really quick. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I get so excited about this, I want to preach the end before I even get started on the beginning. So I need to go back up here at the very first again. Now then, have faith in God who is love. All right, let's go back to Mark chapter 11. Mark 11, 22, Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in love. Huh? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I, the Son of Love, say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father, who is love, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Folks, this, Mark 11, 22, 23, that's a love promise. That's love telling you if it's something you don't desire, cast it into the sea. If it's something you do desire, believe you receive them and you will have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, because you're using love's faith. So how under the sun could you ever expect the faith that you receive from love himself have the faith of God, the cross references, have the faith of love? Well, how could you ever plan on it ever working when you're in unforgiveness? You got a standoff there. Amen. You get one thing negating the other. But when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. Oh, Brother Copeland. No. Wait just a minute. Don't tune up on me. It's not all that hard to do. It's not a feeling-based decision. It's an obedience-based decision, whether you feel like it or not. I just can't. You mean to tell me God told you something you can't do? Particularly when he's the one that's going to do it for you if you just make the decision and just say it with your mouth. Yes, you can.
No, I can't.
Yes, you can.
No, I can't.
Now, see, I want to show you that your words have more power in your life than God's. Now, if you will come to that place and make a decision that his words have more power in your life than your words, then you're going to speak his words. I don't care what you feel. I don't care what your body's trying to tell you. I feel good and I feel fine, body. You just get in line. I forgive. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. The commander-in-chief has commanded me to forgive if I have aught against any. Amen. To love my neighbor as myself. That's not a suggestion, sweetheart. Those are commandments. I just can't. I know it. Maybe I can't. No, you can't. I can't. No. Why? You've never decided to. The decision is yours. You're going to have to take the time to put your eyes on that book. It's not all that hard to do. It's not a feeling-based decision. It's an obedience-based decision, whether you feel like it or not. Hello, everybody. We're Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Father, we thank you for this program today, and we give you praise and honor for it. We uplift the name of Jesus, and we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God, Gloria.
Hey, you look sharp today in your blue
sweetheart.
Shirt.
Amen.
Blue eyes, blue shirt, blue cup.
Today's message, choosing to believe the love that God has for you. This is big, particularly when you're under a lot of pressure. In fact, I got up out of bed last night. I had a high pressure day yesterday that wasn't any fun at all. And I finally got up out of bed, got my Bible and turned to these very scriptures to believe that love. I believe, I trust your love for me. I trust your love in the name of Jesus. Pray you choose to believe what the Word says.
Amen.
Particularly when you don't
want to, and there's just an oppression of Satan about you, well, just slam him with the Word of God. Praise God.
That's right.
Developing a lifestyle of love. God is love. God is love is God is love. Amen. Put the Word of God and your eyes and your ears to get it down inside your spirit. Amen. In fact, that's what this ministry is all about. But I want you to know, we don't just get on here and teach and preach about it. We have to do it at home. This is a lifestyle. This is not a teach one thing and do all this other. No, this is a lifestyle. Amen. We make a declaration of faith together. Put the Word of God, the love of God, the Word of love, first place in your life. Praise God. So get your Bible. Don't forget to get the downloads, kcm.org/download. Amen. Amen. Glory, and I'll be back in just a moment.
Open it to the 17th chapter of John's Gospel. And it's going to have to dawn on you that this book is not a book about somebody. This book is somebody. John 17. And I want you to look at the 23rd verse. Jesus himself is praying right before he went to the cross. Back up, read the 20th verse. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Now, either directly or indirectly, everybody in this room, everybody online, everybody that's born again came to Jesus either directly or indirectly through the people that were sitting in that room. Amen. So he was praying this for you and me. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me. The first time I ever saw that, I had just only a few days before enrolled in Oral Roberts University. I'd never read that in my life. I'd never seen anything like that. When I found it, I had just a few days before just found out the power of agreement. And I said, Jesus prayed this prayer. I'm going through here. I'm going to set myself in agreement with everything he prayed. And I found that 20th verse, you know, that he'd prayed for me, and I knew he prayed in faith, so I'm going to agree with it. And I got going down through there, and I got to choking on some of the things that he said. And I came down to that one. What? You mean to tell me that God loves me as much as he does Jesus? I said it out loud. I said, if this was not written in red, I couldn't believe this. I didn't know anything about new creature. I'd never heard that. I was just an old sinner saved by grace. I'd heard that a lot. I was raised in a Baptist church, and everybody said that. That sounded all right to me. I didn't know the difference. But I got to looking at that. He said that. The Son of the Living God said that. I, I, I can't stand here and say that that's not true for me. I have to agree with that because Jesus, my Savior, said that out of his own mouth, and he was praying when he said it. And I was shaking all over. I was really afraid to say it. I didn't know anything about faith at that time. Oh, a little. Not much. I was afraid to say that. And I'm walking around my little room there. But I had the book right up here with me. And I said, well, here goes. I'm going to say it. I want to thank you, Father. Oh, my goodness. I want to thank you. Oh. God loves me just as much as he loved Jesus. And I'm telling you, I was trembling. But oh, my spirit rose up on the inside of me and took a big, long drink of that. I'm telling you, it thrilled me on the inside. And I just kept saying it. I just kept walking around that room. God loves Kenneth. God loves Kenneth. God loves me. Stupid, ignorant, dumb me. God loves me. And I found out later I wasn't stupid. I got the mind of Christ. But I didn't know anything about the new birth. I didn't know I was a new creature. And I just kept saying it. God loves Kenneth. God loves Kenneth. God loves me. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, before that day was over with, it got to me. It got to me. I got so thrilled, I didn't want to say anything else. God loves Kenneth. And, of course, the next thing I did, I come running in there to Gloria. I said, Gloria, look at this. God loves us. She said, ooh. It was so real and so good. But you need to do that. You need to hear yourself say it. And you need to put your eyes on that, and you say it because Jesus prayed it, not because you feel one way or another. And you choose to believe it. Now, I want to talk to you about that part of it there just for a moment. You believe it in your heart, and you say it with your mouth. We know that, Mark 11, 23 and 24. While I'm talking about this, look at the 13th chapter of John's Gospel. You're right there close. This was a while, just a short time, sometime before we went to Tulsa and enrolled at ORU. So, It was just absolutely strictly the Lord that led me this day to do what I did. I had every symptom of the flu in my body. I mean, you know, my hair hurt. I mean, I'm hurting all over. I drove Gloria to the cleaners, and I'm sitting out there in front while she went into the cleaners to get done whatever she was doing. And I was sitting there, and I thought, you know, I believe I'm going to let her drive home. I'm so sick. I just don't believe I'm going to be able to drive. And my Bible was laying there in the seat next to me, and I had opened it up, 1 Peter 2:24. And I'm telling you, I knew so little about this. I picked it up. Now, the Spirit of the Lord was leading me here, because at this time I had no teaching at all from this standpoint. I had a little, but not like what we're talking about now. And I just said it out loud. I just propped the Bible up there on the steering wheel, and I put my finger on that verse of Scripture. I picked that Bible up and held it up and put my finger on 1 Peter 2:24. I said out loud, I read it, Himself bore my sins in His own body on the tree, that I, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes I was healed. I said out loud, Lord, I choose to believe this. Well, I certainly wasn't saying it because I felt healed. I felt everything but healed. But I said, I choose to believe this. Read it again. I choose to believe this. About that time, Gloria walked out. By the time she got in the car, I was feeling well enough to drive. I mean, it had been probably, maybe 10 minutes at the most. And like I said, I mean, you know, I'm a scripturally illiterate, James. I didn't know nothing about what I'm doing here, but I was being led by the Spirit of God. And I said, again, I choose to believe that. And I told that to Gloria, and I said, Gloria, I choose to believe that. She said, okay. I drove us home. By the time I got home, I'm feeling pretty good. And I thought, you know, I believe I can eat a little supper here. And I went to bed. I wasn't 100%, but I woke up the next morning, and I'm telling you, every symptom was gone. Now, what happened? I chose to believe that whether I felt like it or not. Amen. And that is the foundation that all faith rests upon. Let every man be a liar, but God is truth. Amen. What He said in that book is the truth. Amen. Well, how can I say I'm healed when it's obvious I'm sick? Obvious to whom? Well, Brother Copeland, I mean, it's, you know, look at this. Now, if I was to say I was healed, I'd be lying about it. It's not true. That's not true. I've got this thing right here. No, you're the one lying. No, I'm not lying. Yeah, you're lying. You are lying. Because what's on your arm is not truth. It's a fact, but it's not the truth. The truth is 1 Peter 2:24. The truth is Isaiah 53. That's the truth about that. And if you choose to believe the truth will change that fact. Amen. Now, it becomes more and more powerful and more powerful the more you become aware that you're believing love. See, you start to say, I believe in God. No. You're believing God. You're believing love. And for you to have the idea that God wants you to keep that thing on your arm another 6 months is a lie from hell. Don't you ever even let yourself think about that. I want to ask you one question. Did Jesus ever tell anybody, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or did any of the apostles ever tell anybody in the book of Acts or the rest of the New Testament, now you're going to have to keep this for another little while? No. It is not in there. And if it was the will of God, there would be an example of it in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John or Acts. And if it isn't in there, it isn't in there. Amen. So don't make that up. It's a lot harder to make that up if you're saying, love wanted me to stay sick for a while. You can say God and, man, you know, maybe kind of be callous to it. But you get to start saying, love wants me sick. That ain't going to work. This is the reason it's so important to renew your thinking, renew your mind to the fact that God is love and love is God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, just a little bit more here. I told you to look in the 13th chapter of John. Say, God loves me. I believe it in my heart. And I say it with my mouth. God loves me. Gave himself for me. God loves Kenneth. Hallelujah. John 13:23. I tell you, I love this. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Now I want you to notice what John is doing here. He's not bragging on himself. John was there when Jesus preached Mark 11:23-24. He was there. He was the only one that didn't run out on Jesus. Something going on here. He outlived all the rest of them. The apostle of love. They tried more than once to kill him. The records show that they boiled him in oil. What they would do, they'd put somebody in a boiling cauldron and then with a grappling hook reach in there and just pull their bones out and all the flesh just fall off of the bones. Those are really nice people back in those days. You know? This was a long time before political correctness. And it wasn't a figure of speech when he said they're going to boil you in oil. And they did that with John and put the hook down in there and he came out whole. Well, see, that's the same miracle as the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. It is the same miracle. Same thing. You couldn't get to him. Now, I want you to notice what the man is doing now. There was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He was talking about the one that would betray him. Now get the picture. John there was leaning on Jesus' bosom, the one that Jesus loved. He had faith that Jesus loved him. This is the same man that wrote, "We have known and believed the love that God has to us." He started this before Jesus ever went to the cross. He believed that. He believed that he loved him. Now, get the picture. Peter didn't come up to Jesus and say, "Sir, who is it?" He was afraid of him. So where did he go? He went to John and said, "Ask him. Ask him. Ask him. Come on, man, ask him who it is." John said, "You ask. I ain't going to ask him. You his favorite." And John said, "Yeah, that's me. You got that right." Now, see, all the time, he's not bragging on himself. He's confessing it with his mouth. I'm the one that Jesus loves. He loves me. He had known and believed the love. Can you see that? There was an intimacy there, and Jesus answered him. All right. Now then, let's go over to the 19th chapter. And I want you to look at the 26th verse. 19, 26. Verse 25, now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Amen. I'm by the Spirit of God, I'm endeavoring to impress on you and me the importance of renewing our mind that God is love and He loves me. Hello, everybody. We're Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Happy Thanksgiving Day.
Amen.
Praise
Hallelujah.
God. Thanksgiving Day.
Thanksgiving
you know, Day. I heard Keith Moore say this. The Lord, he was in an extended time of prayer on some things. And the Lord said to him, among other things, develop a grateful attitude. Develop being grateful to God.
That strengthens your faith.
Oh, my goodness. Thanksgiving really
is. And griping and complaining does just the opposite.
Oh, Gloria, did you have to say that?
Yes, I had to say that.
Yeah, amen. Now, we're going to show you something later on in the broadcast. I really want you to watch this. It doesn't make any difference what the circumstances look like. And there's no such thing as being too far gone.
That's right.
As long
as
you're still breathing on this earth. You do things God way. Do things the love way.
Yes, amen.
You get His results, and love makes a way for the blessing to come into your life.
Amen.
Praise God. This is something to be thankful about. Whether you feel thankful or not, develop a grateful, thanksgiving lifestyle.
Yes, amen.
Open your Bibles with me tonight. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. The book of 1 John, as I said earlier in the week, set aside several weeks, and I read the book of 1 John every day for several months, and I'm going to do it again here in just a few days. It is one of the most eye-opening books, and there are things in it that really don't come to the surface until you renew your mind to the fact that God is love, and love heals. Love prospers. Love has only made one person poor. Only one. Only one. His name is Jesus. He became poor with our poverty because he took the curse of poverty. The curse is threefold: spiritual death, sickness, poverty, and debt. The redemption is threefold: salvation, healing, and He is our Melchizedek. Now, what does that mean, Brother Colburn? Melchizedek is the one that was anointed of God to receive Abraham's tithe. And by receiving that tithe, covenant connected Abraham to God, and Melchizedek, who was Shem, Melchizedek called Abraham possessor of heaven and earth. And he was holding the bread and the wine in his hand when he said it. Covenant, blood, and whoa, hallelujah. Oh, I wish I could get over into that tonight. I may get into a little of it anyway. Amen. That's what love does. Love doesn't leave you in a lurch. Love figures out some way to get your deliverance to you. If you can't receive it one way, he'll figure out some way to get it to you another. There's at least 7 different ways in the New Testament to get healing to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, religion comes along and said, yeah, he don't want you to have none of that. And then brainwashed Christians all messed up. They treat God like he doesn't love anybody. That's one of the reasons it's impossible to please God without faith, is because without faith, he can't connect to you. And if he can't connect to you without faith, you can't get to his grace. It is by faith, so that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. And he wants everybody in that grace. I kept asking him, I said, I need a working definition of grace. I know I've looked up the words undeserved favor, and that's good. That's wonderful. But there was just something, I just wasn't satisfied with that. I mean, over a long period of time. And he'd answer me a little here and there and show me illustrations, you know, of his grace and his favor. And of course, you can't listen to Jerry Savelle very long without finding something other about grace and favor. Amen. Yes. Glory. So, one day, not all that long ago, I just asked him again, just like I had, you know, it seemed to me like I'd just been pestering him for years. And all of a sudden, he decided to answer me. And I was just sitting there, and I said, Lord, give me a definition of grace. He said, it is my overwhelming desire to treat you as if sin had never happened. Amen. Yeah. Now, can you see that's what love does? Love is not looking for a way to keep you from getting it. He's looking for a way to get you to get it, because he loves you. He loves you more than he loved his life. Amen. And you remember the commercial with all the little green people? They got green trucks and green uniforms and they clean up everything. You remember that? Do you remember that? Okay. I just wondered if I was getting through here. And I'm sitting there. And, you know, that commercial came on. Gloria and I just sitting there again. And it came on there like it never even happened. I said, Gloria, that's grace. That's grace. Like it never even happened. Grace laid our sins on Jesus. Grace moved and shed his blood. Grace went to hell so we don't have to go, where we can live our lives like it never even happened. And when you do sin, repent. Don't spend weeks and weeks and weeks feeling sorry for yourself. Amen. Just come right straight to God and say, sir, I did it again. Amen. Forgive me. Please. And don't say something else that's stupid. Amen. Amen.
Don't start in now. Now, it looks like after I'm 80 years old, I'll have better sense than it is. Oh, shut up. Amen. That's just your guilt talking. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But you have to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. You go right straight to 1 John. And you pick that book up. And you, let's open it. Open it to 1 John. Well, you already opened it to 1 John, didn't you? Well, back up to the first chapter. Verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just or righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, if you're cleansed from all unrighteousness, what's left? Righteousness. Hallelujah. That's where love wants you. Yeah, but I'm just so sorry I did it. Well, you still got it. You ain't repented of that. Oh, I repent. No, you haven't repented until you receive by faith your forgiveness. And acknowledge it. I don't care how you feel about it. I know you feel like a rat. But if you learn how to walk by faith, you can kill that feeling. Amen. Oh, Brother Copeland, the first thing you know, they'll just all be sinning and confessing and sinning and confessing. So? That's better than sinning and not confessing and sinning and not confessing. No born again, no born again child of God is looking for a way to sin and get away with it. Yeah, that's just not in you anymore. You'll learn that in 1 John if you spend some time reading and studying. That you're looking for a way to get out from under it, to break its authority and power in your life. Well, if you really knew, its power and authority has already been broken in our lives. You'd be surprised how weak that thing is. Because its strength is in the flesh. But your power is in the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Now, let's walk through this. Remember now, let's go ahead and read our text first before we do this. We can get this on our minds. In the 8th verse of 1 John 4, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Then come down to the 16th verse. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Known and believed it. Now, it's one thing to mentally accept it, but it's another thing to trust it. You learn to trust that love. Notice what he said here now. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect or developed, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Well, of course not. God is love. There's no fear in him. And he's in us. Perfected love casteth out fear. Don't you remember the scripture says, stir up the gift that is within us? He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. and you stir up the gift of God, which is love, what happens? It flushes that fear out of there, because the more you stir it up and the more you feed that love, glory to God, and the tide starts rising in there, it gets to the place where there's no room left for fear anymore. Wow. It's gone. Now, I want to talk to you about this a little bit. Fear, you can have, people do this all the time. People manage fear. People do it all the time. I mean, saved or unsaved, people manage fear. You can have a guy, for instance, that rides big, nasty bulls. Horrible, big, ugly, mean bulls in a rodeo. And now they wear helmets and everything else. It used to be you didn't have nothing but your head.
That's right.
Or maybe your hat, if it stayed on your head long enough. Or maybe your head come off with the hat on it. He has no fear of that animal. But then he goes and gets in his truck and he's driving to the next rodeo and he's sitting there worried sick about his finances, his children, his wife, and everything else. Fear is there. He managed it where that bull is concerned, and he has not learned to manage it where his own business affairs are concerned. You understand? Worry is fear dependent. It's fear based. So fear, now if you're born again, if you're not born again, your spirit is producing fear. There's a fountain of fear in your unborn again spirit. Now, once you get born again, old things passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And now there is no fountain of fear on the inside of you. You have a fountain of love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness over the fruit of the Spirit. You have a fountain of faith in there. But you continue to feed fear in there, it'll get in your spirit. And you may be going along. Somebody would ask you, you got fear in you right now? No, what are you talking about? We don't have fear. When actually you do, it's resident in you because you fed it in there. And if you violate the law of love, fear is there immediately.
Come on.
Because that's what it feeds on. Is when you violate the law of love, perfected love casts it out. But the moment that you decide to violate that law and step off that love line, then fear is right there. You start worrying about stuff and that kind of thing. Now, instead of managing fear, when you are determined to walk in the commandment of love and you put that up first place in your life, not by your feelings, but the simple fact that the commander in chief has commanded us to do it. And we are soldiers in the army of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So once you come to that place and you really realize who you are, and you begin to not only know, but believe that love. You trust that love. He loves me. He loves me. He's not trying to hurt me. He's doing everything he can to get me to listen to him where I can stay out of trouble.
Amen.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Praise God, the believer has a voice, and it is the voice of victory.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Amen.
Father, thank you for this word today and for this broadcast today. We uplift our voices in praise and honor, and we thank you with all of our hearts for revelation from heaven today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. This week,
We've been learning how to walk in love. Now, wait a minute. What did I just say? Well, Brother Coleman, you said we're learning how to walk in love. No, I said we're learning how to walk in God. No, you didn't. I heard you say we're learning how to walk in love. No, I said we're learning how to walk in God. See, when you said God, you said love, and you said love, you said God. Now, this is something really, really important here before we get into this. The word God really came out of German theology, Gott, instead of the, he's got seven redemptive names. And it's, we've lost a lot by not knowing those names and not understanding that his name is not God. And his last name's not Christ. I mean, he is love. We're gonna wind up this teaching today on learning the key to staying in the love of God. Who is love? Okay, let's just get right straight into today's Bible lesson.
Go over to Deuteronomy chapter 28. This is the blessing of Abraham and the curse of the law. Look at the first verse of the chapter. It shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently. Do you see that?
Yes.
Hearken diligently. See that word hearken?
Yes.
Hear ken. That means I'm supposed to listen up here. Diligently. To the voice. Hey, this is the voice of God. This Bible, this book is the voice of God to you.
Amen.
Amen. Now, to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if you will hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now, in the 15th verse, but it shall come to pass if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, ye refuse to listen to him, observe to do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, all these curses will come on you and overtake you. All right. Now then, let's go to Romans chapter 13. Verse 9, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly understood in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
But you have to be as diligent to hearken and listen to him about walking in love. Why was he so rough on them? Why is he telling them, you better listen to me? Because if they disobeyed him, they just walked right out there where that curse was. He didn't have to put it on them. It came on you. It isn't any different today. We have been redeemed from the curse of the law. But it's still out there.
Yes,
sir. Huh? Look at this. As this straight line down this carpet here, this is the straight and the narrow. This is what Jesus was talking about. It is a narrow way. The rest of it is very broad. Now, I've made a commitment to God as a soldier in the army of the Lord. I am committed. I'm going to keep that commandment. I'm going to walk in that. Some way or another, I'm going to walk in that. He's just going to have to help me by His grace and teach me and train me. But I've made up my heart and mind. Jesus said that love your neighbor as yourself and love the brethren even as He loved the brethren.
Amen.
That's the law of Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
So I'm doing that. And something happened. Whoa. The minute I did that, I just stepped into Satan's world.
Yep.
And he's going to do his best to steal the word out of me. If he can get the word out of me, he can hurt me. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Now, let me prove this to you. Right there in 1 John. Look in the 5th chapter. Look in verse 14. This is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, if we ask anything according to His word, His word is His will. There's no way He's going to promise you something that's against His will. That's probably the answer to the question, how dumb can you get? To think God is going to promise you something that's against His will.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, if we ask anything, look at it. According to His will, according to His word, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of Him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. Now look at the 17th verse. All unrighteousness is sin. There is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Really? But he that's begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. Now, wait a minute. Put your brakes on. Is your mind renewed?
Yes.
When you hear the word God, you hear the word love.
Yes.
When you hear the word love, you hear the word God.
Yes.
Let's look at that verse again. We know that whosoever is born of love sinneth not, but he that is born of love keeps himself, where? In love. And that wicked one touches him not. He's walking that line. He's staying in there. If he steps out, he said, no, I repent. Glory to God. I'm quick to repent, quick to repent, quick to forgive. Slow to anger.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And stay on that love line.
Yes.
No, you take your hands off of my baby, Satan. I walk in love. I keep the commandment of love.
Amen.
I walk in it.
Amen.
I delight in His commandments. Amen. Hallelujah. Because see, if I love my neighbor as myself, I got it covered. All I got to do is just continue to love and forgive and not let anything ruffle my feathers.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. No, I can't afford to be step out there fussing with you.
Come on.
Uh-uh. I mean, come on. You get up early on Sunday morning and you spend time praying in the Spirit. And, oh, the Lord is so good. And you've just been in His presence. And you think, oh, I got to hurry up and get ready for church and get in there. And you get in there and get mad at your hair.
Yes,
folks, it ain't worth it. Somebody said, that looks great. You have to be under 18 years old to have said that. I don't care. I'm not going to lose the anointing because I get mad at my hair. Come on. And then get mad at my hair and then go chew out my wife because I'm mad at my hair. And she don't like the looks of it either. And we're ripping around at one another. Not in our household. That don't happen. Amen. But I know households what it do happen. And then you're fussing over something else all the way to church, and they started over your stupid hair. Come on. You got angry. Your emotions got the best of you. When all the time the Lord was trying to bless you and you prayed in the Spirit and you got into a place where He could use you in that church service this morning and you just blew it over a hairdo. That's the way Satan has gotten away with murder. Amen.
Amen.
I mean it. No, these are commands. God is looking for an army that'll walk in His love and walk in His statutes, hallelujah, and listen to Him. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Now, let's go back over here now where we were in the first chapter, and let's walk through this by faith. You remember Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, see, he laid out the faith principle and then he immediately put it into operation. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, so that your heavenly Father can forgive you your trespasses. Amen. All right, let's apply that. Amen. I missed it. Well, I can wait two or three, 4 days or a week and feel bad about it and cry and squall and go ahead and finish the argument. You know, hold on to it for several days. Well, Brother Copeland, you don't know what they did to me. I've been trying to forgive them. No, you hadn't. Forgiving's easy. It's not a matter of feelings.
That's right.
No. You stand up there before the commander-in-chief of the heavenly forces.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
And you say, sir! I have forgiven her, sir.
Amen.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yes, sir.
She's forgiven.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Then you get to church that morning, and there she comes. Oh, no, I thought I forgave her. You did.
Amen.
You did. That was a decision. And that's the way you're supposed to forgive, is a matter of decision. Of obedience.
Yes, sir. Choice. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Now, your flesh is in the habit of not liking her. And it hadn't changed yet. It's still as stupid as it was last week. Because your flesh doesn't have a mind of its own. The flesh has no mind. It is trainable, but it has no mind of its own. Amen. And you have to tell it what to do. You just say, no, you put a smile on your face and go over there and you greet her because she's forgiven.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I said she's forgiven.
Yes, sir.
I don't want to go over there and do that. It doesn't have anything different than what you want
to
do.
That's right.
Go over there and speak to her. There ain't no telling what she'll call me. That's her problem, not yours.
Amen. That's right.
I was on one end of the house and Gloria's on the other. And she said something from the other end. She hollered in there at me, something I don't even remember what she said. And I said, she don't care nothing about me. Whoa. I want you to know the Spirit of God rose up inside me. I didn't hear it audibly, but I heard it with every cell of my being. My eyes heard it. My nose heard it. My hair heard it. He said, "Who do you think you are?" I mean, it jerked me to a brace. I'm standing there trembling all over. He said, "It's none of your business whether she cares anything about you or not. It is your business to care for her." Sir, yes, sir. That was the last time that ever happened. That's been 20 some odd years ago. That's the last time that ever happened. I'm not taking a chewing out like that again. If you ain't never had the Holy Ghost really thoroughly give you a dressing down, brother, I want you to know you ain't never been chewed out. When I was in the Army, I got chewed out every day. I tell you, that first day, I knew I was in some kind of trouble. I was way overweight. And I'm standing there like this. And I want you to know old Top come out there and he's looking us over. That is the biggest, blackest master sergeant I ever saw in my life. This man was huge. I want you to know, he wasn't master sergeant, sergeant major. He was all soldier. I come to really respect him. He walked up front of me and he laughed, man. You know, he's about 6'5", standing there looking at me. He said, and he poked me in the belly and he said, "We gonna let the wind out of you." I thought, "Oh, man, I have had it, mama." I want out of here. Don't we have a base in Hawaii somewhere I can go to? Boy, he did too. But man, I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, that is one of the most powerful things that ever happened in my life. When the Lord just got me and yanked me back over there under the authority and power of his word. Amen. Because I'm a soldier, yes, in the army of the Lord.
Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. When? When you stand praying. Amen. When you stand there at attention before him. Not, "Oh, God, I just don't know what's the matter with me." Whiny baby, time is over.
Amen.
It's time for the army of God to arrive.
Amen.
And attack the forces of darkness with a vengeance.
Amen.
And love one another with an intensity that we've never known before. But until you confess it, it's still working in your life. But you have to confess it by faith. You haven't done anything until you receive the forgiveness and the cleansing. That's the promise. Huh? Look at it again. Right here is where most people cave in because they feel so guilty. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just or righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, if you operate by faith, sir, I confess that. I acted out of love. I'm guilty of it. And don't try to kind of milk it over. If it's sin, call it what it is. Amen. Well, you see, I kind of got this problem. You ain't got a problem. Sin is sin. You just stand up there and own it. And confess it. And spew it out of your system. Amen. And don't take a whole bunch of time squalling and bawling around about it. Amen. Get it done. Sir, I did that. I judged myself of it. And I'm here before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I confess it. And I believe I receive my forgiveness, Lord Jesus, from your righteous and faithfulness. And I receive my cleansing from this in the name of Jesus. And now get on your face and begin to worship Him and thank Him for His mercy.
Ever wondered what it would be like to have Kenneth or Gloria Copeland's study notes? Now you can. For this week's broadcasts, you can download your own copy of what they're teaching. Follow along with the key teaching points, scriptures, prayers, and even interactive questions to help you go further in your study of the Word. Download your free, easy-to-use outlines for the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast now at kcm.org/notes. We're here for you.
Enter into a time of praise and worship with a special music collection from Kenneth Copeland.
I have returned to the God of my childhood.
The music ministry of Kenneth Copeland, special collection, The Early Years, a CD featuring some of Kenneth Copeland's favorite songs.
The Word came to life when it came to me.
You might recognize these wonderful worship songs or be introduced to them for the first time.
How great thou art.
Let this anointed music encourage your faith and bring peace to your mind.
Get your Bible.
See God's greatness in your worship time with the Lord.
Now, how about you?
Request your free copy of The Music Ministry of Kenneth Copeland's Special Edition, The Early Years. This music CD is a collection that highlights songs recorded in the early years of Brother Copeland's psalmist ministry. Let these songs of praise and worship create an atmosphere of faith and thanksgiving. Go to our website, kcm.org/TV special, or call toll-free 800-600-7395. Offer good for 60 days.
Now listen to me now. Jesus went to the cross, went to hell, and paid the hell price for every living human being, providing two ways. One way in earth, there's only two ways. One is to a palace. The other is to a jail.
That's right.
Now, the choice is yours. I don't care what dastardly deed you've done. I don't care if it is the crime of the century. I baptized a serial killer in water, killed 21 women, and hey, but see, Jesus bore that sin back when He was on the cross. Oh, well, then everybody's going to heaven. No, only the ones that choose Him.
That's right.
Because it's available. But He did everything but make your decision and my decision and pray your prayer and pray my prayer. That's something that
in our place, because man has a choice.
Yes.
He has a choice, and he can choose. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we pray for every person
you,
out here in the sound of our voice today, in the name of Jesus. Help them make this choice today, Lord. Now, if you never accepted Jesus as your Lord, right now is the time, sir, ma'am.
Yes.
This is the moment. So just put your hand over your heart, lift that other hand up to heaven, and pray this out loud with glory in me. Oh, God in heaven.
Oh, God in heaven.
I believe with all my heart.
I believe with all my heart.
That you raised Jesus from the dead.
That you raised Jesus from the dead.
That he is alive right now.
That he is alive right now.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
I receive you as my Lord and my Savior.
I receive you as my Lord and my Savior.
I repent of sin.
I repent of sin.
I renounce the devil and everything he stands for.
I renounce the devil and everything he stands
for. My past is gone.
My past is gone.
And you're my future.
And you're my future.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Fill me with your precious Holy Spirit.
With your precious Holy Spirit.
I receive him now.
I receive him now.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Father. Amen.
Glory to
God. Amen. Now, let me tell you what I want you to do. Use the information that's on your screen right now. We want to send you this little book. He did it all for you. And Gloria and I put this together to help you get started reading your Bible. Just this little brochure on how to study the Bible. Hey, this is not hard.
Besides that, there's so much that belongs to you that most of you may not know about.
And
it's
you need
in the
to
Bible.
Know it.
You need to know it.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
It's victory.
KCM.org, and get this. It's free in postpaid. We want you to have it.
I commit this to you. I write a partner letter every month. I pray for you every day. I put scriptures there on the bottom of that partner letter, and I put those on there specifically for your benefit so that you can go back and read those and make them a part of your prayer life.
Kenneth Copeland's commitment to his partners has led to over 350 individual letters being written since 1986. The U.S. office mails the letter to over 400,000 partners and friends every month. These powerful messages from God's heart minister life to your spirit and strengthen you in your daily walk of faith.
I'm a partner for about probably 5 years now, and I enjoy his product, especially his monthly letters. I wait for them in the mail. I just love those. They're so very inspiring.
And he always hits it right on. Whatever I'm going through, that is the word for that month. And I keep that letter.
But I will write them to help them get their needs met, to help them prosper, to help them grow in the Lord and grow in faith and grow in prayer and go from religion to reality, praise God.
Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event. April 5th through 7th, the Copelands welcome you to the 2018 Branson Victory Campaign at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. May 31st through June 2nd, join Kenneth Copeland Ministries at the Sacramento Victory Campaign at the Convention Center in Sacramento, California. July 30th through August 4th, bring your whole family to the Southwest Believers Convention at the Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information, go to kcm.org/events.
Now, Friday is always offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Now, I want to point something out to you today. Verse 6 of Galatians 6, let him that is taught in the Word communicate or respond unto him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Now, I want to point something out here to you. You're not only being taught and communicated with on this broadcast. You know, you order the products. Nobody is required to pay for anything off this broadcast. But think about it. You're receiving product free of charge. You're receiving all of these other things. Pray about that part of it also. On the Believer's Voice of Victory Network, we don't charge our broadcasters one penny for being on that. We sow that into their lives and ministry in order to get this total immersion set up for you. So now be praying and seeking the Lord in you're part of the financial outreach of this ministry. If you're not an active partner with this ministry, you need to be praying about that and seek the Lord, whether or not you should become a praying, giving, involved partner with Glory in Me and with this wonderful ministry that the Lord has blessed us to be a part of for over 50 years. Amen. Father, we pray over this offering today. In the name of Jesus, I'm asking you, sir, to reveal to the people everything they need to know about this. And we praise you for it. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when an offering comes in here, we pray over it. We have a prayer team that prays over it. Your money gets prayed over. This is not just preacher talk. Your money gets prayed over. You get prayed over when you sow into this ministry. This is good ground. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I'm telling you, hey, glory to God. Hey, we're going to be here Monday. So
you going to be with us?
Yeah, right. You need to be here Monday. Praise the Lord. How to activate faith with your words. Until then, this is Kenneth and Gloria Copeland reminding you again that Jesus is
Lord.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to thank you for your faithful support. Now you can text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609.
Community to me is about never being alone, that you always have people around you, that you're doing the same thing, going in the right direction together, and you're always developing and going to a higher level with people. And so it never feels like you have to do it on your own, but you're doing it as a team.
Community is letting your guard down and just being you.
Community is partnership.
Community is all about ministry.
A place to find friends.
A place to build relationships.
Doing life together.
It's a place to get together with family.
Community is unity and trust.
Community is a group of people you can rely on.
Words, the most important things in this earth. That makes the Word of God the most precious thing in the earth. Don't miss this 2 weeks of broadcast.
You won't want to miss these special broadcasts.